Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I introduced myself, Richard, living in the north of Sweden, started my journey as a church planter in Russia in 1991. Me and my friends had been in two smaller cities on the Kola Peninsula sharing the gospel. We came into schools and asked the headmaster, can we share the gospel here? And they gathered people together. So we preached the gospel and everybody received, which was very unexpected. And we shared the were singing and sharing the gospel in the streets. And one of my friends bought all the tickets to the cinema on Saturday night so we could set up a meeting there instead of the whatever film it was, and preach the gospel. And in 2 weeks we had led more than 1,000 people to Christ, which was unbelievable, and it still feels unbelievable in many ways. But we understood right there that we have a responsibility for these people. We need to train them, and we need to form community and fellowship. So we needed to plant churches. So over a period of 5 years, we ended up planting 5 churches. I was not the main guy at that time. I was only 23, so there were some older people, but not many. So we learned by doing. And these churches are still there, and with people that we trained, and many of them are doing well. And it's a long story, and I couldn't tell you much about that. But it all starts. It was very interesting to hear John Lennox this morning, because he said that man is different from everything else in creation because man can hear God. God spoke to them. I think that was a very, very good statement. And I will talk about the call or the calling and the importance of understanding your calling as a person and as a group in church planting. And it has to do with, of course, a word from God, but it also has to understand who you are and what God has given you and so on. And I will use Ephesians chapter 4 as a sort of a guideline in this. I may overread some things into these scriptures. I don't know. You can correct me there. But Paul is giving general directions for the churches in Ephesus. And we know that Paul did his missionary work in Ephesus, sharing the word in Ephesus every day, and the whole region heard the gospel. And we can understand from how he did it that he sent people out in couples to every place and every corner of this region in Asia. And so he writes later this letter to Ephesians, which is not to a singular church, but to the churches in this area, as I understand it. So there are some general things that are general for all churches. And it's interesting to looking at the concept of calling, going into this chapter a little bit. But I will start first. I think everything starts with a call from God. God spoke to Adam and gave him instructions to take care of the planet. And it was a word from God. We heard this morning also about the word from God to Abraham, a call to leave his city and follow. So it is a word from God, and it is our response in faith to this word that is the essence of calling. And I think it's really important in church planting to at least for me, because you come into situations where things are really tough and things are really not going as you think that they should go. I've had, you know, some times where during, you know, these almost 16 years now of living in Luleå, planting and working with the church, where I really, you know, struggle and think, you know, are we doing the right thing? is this really what we should be doing? And some, you know, circumstances also, when my best friend left his wife, he was also a leader in our church. You know, things like this really, stir your life. And it's so important to be able to come back and know that, well, God called me to do this. I'm confirmed in my faith that God has spoken to me and that we are on going in the right direction. And in these circumstances, it really helps to know that God has called you. Last year at the ELF, we heard Os Guinness speak on calling. So I got his book and I did see it on the book table. So I can really recommend it. The level of English is pretty high for a non. It's the call, Os Guinness. There's also a shorter, you know, the call for dummies or something like that. A shorter version that is easier to read. So it's the essence of the book. It's really, really good stuff, and I recommend reading it. I will start with a personal call. We read about Jesus. He says, actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. Jesus knew his calling. He knew his purpose. He knew what he was here to do and to accomplish. We read about Peter and Andrew. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. So Jesus speaks into their life. And, amazingly enough, they just leave everything and follow him. And you know the story of Paul, and he shares, I just jump right into when he shares, you know, his experience, when Jesus says to him, now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world that you have seen, what you have seen, and what I will show you in the future, and I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. So, very, you know, clear words from God to, and a very clear understanding of the calling. And coming back to myself, you know, I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up in a church that was really, you know, touched by missions. So we had, I remember an old man, he was a missionary in China, coming, showing all these Chinese stuff and speaking and singing in Chinese when I was about 10 years old. And he was there before the, you know, Cultural Revolution in the 40s and 50s doing missionary work in China. And he, it was an impact. And I remember him talking about his calling. And I remember hearing all these people, you know, being so certain that God had called them to the field or to overseas or to Africa. And they came back and shared all their stories, and I was really touched. And I you know, remember thinking, well, I've never heard God say anything to me. How on earth, you know, is God going to be able to speak to me? But growing up as a Christian, I had a desire to serve God. I really longed to make a difference for other people, and I really could understand that the love of God was in my heart for others. And I was really touched by these, you know, missionary things and missionary people reaching people for Christ and doing good stuff for others. So that was, you know, what I carried in my heart in my teens. And when I, you know, finished high school, I had to do my military service. And at the end of that, I was sort of, God, what do you want me to do? So I was really struggling with the calling. And I, you know, didn't have a, you know, a word from heaven or anything like that, but just this desire. And then one day, she's now my wife. I was only interested in her at this time. She had been to Bible school, and she, you know, told me, well, I was in this Bible school, and I met this pastor, the pastor of my friend, and he has this vision to go to Russia and preach the gospel. Maybe you should go with us. Come with us. And partly because I was interested in her, and partly because this really resonated with my heart, I said, well, yeah, let's do it. I'm on. So, and I had applied for some theological training and so on, but I skipped that and went straight into it. And on that road, God has, you know, confirmed some of these things in my heart, ending up planting the church in Luleå later. But calling, God's call to your life gives direction, I think. It, you know, it's where are you going? What are we, you know, in a broad sense, what do we need to go? What do we need to do? I'm sorry if I mix words in English. English is not my first language. calling is also, I think, about people. Jesus spoke to Paul about the Gentiles. Jesus spoke to Peter about also about the Gentiles. Jesus came for all the people in the world. And when you, you know, ask God, when you search your heart, when you, you know, think about your desires, I believe God is, you know, painting pictures of people groups, cities, towns, groups of people. And that is also part of calling. And also forming a team. Who are you going to work together with? We know Paul brought a team, Peter brought a team, Jesus, you know, had a team of disciples, apostles that he trained. So it's of course a personal thing, but it's also about people, and it is about serving God. And you know, looking into Os Guinness' book, it's not just, you know, Christian ministry, but it's about serving God with your life. And I believe that you can serve God as a teacher or engineer. I work, as I said earlier, part-time as in the Swedish road administration with traffic things as an engineer and administrator, sort of. So you can serve God in different ways, but your calling is about service. I also, I mean, every man is unique and special, and God has given gifts into your life, given grace to you, given your personality, a character, a setting, a family, a church, and we are formed by this individually. And I really believe that God has an individual purpose, individual calling for us that we can step into and obey and fulfill. But there's also the corporate side of calling that is important. That we are called as groups. You know, when Abraham was called, he brought his whole family and flocks and servants and, you know, whatever. when when we are called, we are not, you know, called only singularly, but plurally with other people. And we can really see that in the Bible. So looking at Ephesians, Paul opens up chapter 4 and says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." You have been called by God. So, and this is not to one person, it's to the churches. You are called together. What we will look at and go deeper into is that your calling demands a certain way of life, culture, and values. Because it's following God. It's a call also into the kingdom. And I will come deeper into this thing. And an important thing also to understand that, you know, going into church planting, or if you're called into church, you're still called to serve God. You're not called to serve your church. You're responsible to God, first of all. You're not responsible for what you do. Which is, you know, Dietrich touched these things a little bit, but it's something for God. It's trusting God with your life, with your actions, with your dreams, with all the gifts and everything that you have. So it's for Him and to Him, and not for our. We're not just responsible for our work, which is, I think, a different thing. So, and that also means that, you know, we can be a little bit more free about successes and so on, because much in church planting is, you know, the question you're asked immediately when you start something: how many are you? How many groups do you have? And it's, you know, it's a little tough to say, well, we're three people. It's me and my wife and our friend. And, well, okay, I have two kids. a pulpit and a couple of chairs. Well, so it's very easy to get into these things and be stressful, and when it's serving God and being faithful to what God asked you to do. There's also a calling for nations, I think. And the nation of Israel was called for God. And Paul says, "For God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn." So calling is long term. It's not just, you know, for this week or for next week. It's a word from God over your life, over your church, that, you know, gives direction for a very long time. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Absolutely.
So, some things about understanding your calling. I was, you know, sharing my personal story, and I think, you know, understanding your calling, I've met one or two people that have heard God really clearly about their life and their ministry. And we read the story of Paul and Peter, and they have these visions and open skies and everything, open heavens. But I think that's not the norm. I think the norm is that we, you know, step by step discover what God has, you know, put into our lives, and we hear, you know, day by day and step by step what God is revealing to us as we take steps of faith. But some things are, you know, good ways of understanding your calling. And one way is to look at your gifting, to understand what you're gifted to do. It's not very easy. I mean, you can do some, you know, gift tests. Willow Creek has one, and there are several different Christian gift tests, and there are disc tests and other personality tests, and you can, you know, look through all these things, and it gives, you know, some understanding. But it's also some of it is trial and error, understanding what your gifts are. And I have had this, you know, desire to serve God. So when we had planted the church and were some years into the church planting, I was also asked from another church in the same denomination to pastor that church as well. So I stepped up from being, you know, bivocational to pastoring two churches full time, and it was, you know, I started, yeah, I'm full time a minister. It's awesome, and it was awesome for some days. But then I started to understand these things, also working with two churches at the same time, as the main guy with the family was almost suicidal, I would say, because it demanded so much. And they were very different in culture as well, one older church and our younger church. And I hoped to try to work with them closer together, but it didn't work out. And I also felt very... I didn't feel good about it. It's really hard to explain. But I understood that I'm not gifted to be a pastor. I'm not gifted to sit down with people and hear their stories all day about what happened 40 years ago and how someone treated them badly and so on. So that was not my thing. So I understand that my gift is starting things, reaching new people, gathering people and doing these kinds of things. So it was a way for me to understand that, yeah, well, church planting is probably what I need to do and work to start things in the kingdom, which is where my gifting is. Another way also of understanding your calling is to look at your, I think, your value system, where you come from, also affects these things. Many effective church planters have not grown up in Christian churches. And I think it's an interesting fact, because there is something we get sort of, we come too far from the world culture to understand how to really work well. So I will also go a little bit deeper into this to talk about what values and practices do we need to work out together. Because my values and practices as a leader affect the group I have around me. And sort of sets the rhythm and culture for others in my team. And values and practices are the things determine what I do. So if my wife asked me to go and buy food, it's a very direct, you need to buy some food for dinner. So our common values is our common understanding of what that means. And, you know, I could translate it in many different ways. I could translate it in go to McDonald's and buy hamburgers. I could translate it into go to the supermarket and buy, you know, meat and carrots and everything. Or I could, there are several different ways, or which store and how much I pay for it and so on. It's based on our value system. So hearing her, she says that, and I go and I probably do the right thing. I probably would ask, you know, some questions back. What can you be a little bit more specific? But our common values means that, you know, we work it out. And the same thing in the church. So your value system also determines some things of who you are. So if I say worship service, your value system will determine what you see. So I will not take time to do it right now, but if you got to say, you know, describe what you see when I say worship service, we would have very different pictures of that because of what you value and because of your tradition and all these things. But I think the deepest way of understanding your calling is really to look into your heart, what you really long for, what you really desire. And I understand, I mean, you are talking about church planting. You paid some money to come here to this conference, to be part of this, to get to learn. So I really think that the Lord is speaking to you and you know, giving you a desire to take steps further on in church planting. Os Guinness writes in his book, "To our shame, we have taken the word amateur, opposed it to professionalism and excellence, and turned it into a matter of tepid motives and shoddy results. But amateur means lover." And it covers what I think is really important about calling, to understand that this is what I desire, this is what I really love to do. Whether I'm paid to do it or I have to pay for it. And so, you know, that's what an amateur has to do. A professional football player is paid and he gets all his boots and so on. An amateur football player probably needs to pay for all his things and also for the travel to play the game. And you do it for love of the game, or for you do church planting for the love of God, for the love of Christ. So it's really deeply rooted in our desire and love.
Who's quoted that? Who said
that? Os Guinness. Yeah. I think this is also something that we need to realize, because it's a question of when you get into church planting, your calling as a leader, or the calling of the main leader, or really sets the agenda for many things, and it will also determine the calling of other people in your team. So other people will you know, find their calling through you. And I can look back into my life and understand that I found my calling because of some people that had a deep influence in my life. Some pastors and some people that I got to work alongside with for some time, because their calling helped me to take the next step on my journey. And I think it's the same with you. So the story in Acts chapter 10, when Peter has seen the vision and Cornelius' servants knocks on his door, he invites them to stay for the night, and the next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. And some, you know, he brought a team, and this was, you know, this is not just, well, these guys came for me to share the gospel. I mean, these are the Gentiles coming, and Peter has this dream, and he is fighting against it. But the, you know, the Spirit says, you know, follow these men, and he goes with them, and he brings he brings some people. I think that's really bold in many ways. But you know, these guys are also really bold because they trust Peter so much, so that they are, you know, willing to go to the Gentiles with him. which is interesting. And it's all, you know, the next day. So he didn't have, you know, 2-week discussion, should I stay or should I go? But it's, you know, the next day they go. Because it's calling is also a question of leadership in this way. I have seen this happen a lot in what we have been doing in my town. So, you know, I really, you know, got a word, and we prayed about it, me and my wife and some friends and my pastor and so on, and we were sent from our mother church to plant this church, a very small team to begin with, and, you know, sharing my dream, my heart, the visions, what, you know, I believe the Lord had given to us, stirred some people, and people joined us. And we had a quite a long period of time, a year and a half, with this, you know, growing group, where we talked about who are we, what do we believe God has called us to do, what do we value, how do we look at ministry, how do we look at marriage, how do we look at, you know, discipleship, what does this mean when a person comes to Christ. What do we expect from them, and, you know, what do we expect from people to get them baptized, and discussing all these things that, you know, is about church, but it's also about calling, because it is about serving God, and it's about direction, and it is about people. So we were talking through all these things and tried to make it, you know, take it down on paper. And also then started to try to live it. And I'm going a little bit ahead of my notes here, but the interesting thing is that when new people have come to Christ, we don't have to have these 2 years of you know, instructing them and discussing everything that we do. They sort of just get it by seeing us, being with us, hearing us, coming into our lives, into our church, into our small groups. They get it from the culture that is formed by our calling. So it starts with the Word of God, and then, you know, we try to understand it together, and we start acting it out, and then a culture is formed in our church. So if I would go to the churches that you belong to right now, I mean, many things are similar, but there would be a very different culture in Helsinki from where you are in Lubin, and to where you are in Hungary. I mean, language is one thing, but also, you know, expression and so on. And this is what people get, and that's what they see, and that's what they hear. So that's why it's so important to work from the right direction, to start with God and His calling. I will go through some of the things to understanding the calling together. One obvious thing is to pray, of course. God, what have you called us to do? Paul, in Ephesians 1, pray for the people that they can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called. So it should be our prayer to understand the hope God has called us to, so that we can have an image of it. And Paul uses so many nice words in English, I can't say them all, but this scripture is very good because it instructs us to pray to understand our calling. And then in Ephesians 1, Paul talks about lead a life worthy of your calling. And I think this is, you know, this has to do with discipleship, and you will hear more about discipleship on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. But discipleship is following Christ. It is following the caller. And if we follow the caller, and Paul tells us to live agreeing, to lead a life worthy of your calling, we can't live, you know, however we want. And I think it's as a church plant, it's important to talk about these things. What does the Christian life look like in our church? How do we want to live as Christians? What does it mean to us? And Paul, you know, talks about some attitudes: to be humble, gentle, patient, making allowance for each other's faults because of their love, keep yourself united in the Spirit, and some more things in these scriptures. And I mean, these are general guidelines, and I think we need to work with these general things, but also understand what does this look like practically. So from these attitudes also work out practices. How do we live humble and gentle and patient, and so on. So to work out an understanding of the calling together. I think it's also important to find out gifts in the team. I talked about this on a personal level, but in a church plant, I mean, as a church planter, you can be very gifted, as Dietrich said, but you also need other gifts, and to find out, you know, what other people come with is very important. To find their gifts so that you know that they are more gifted than you, and you can hand over responsibility to them. And Paul talks about, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So this is on some call it the fivefold ministry, or the gifts to the church. I think it's, you know, very good to have an understanding that there needs to be a variety of gifts and ministry in a church, and also in a church planting team. My experience, though, is that you probably won't have, you know, a very clear pastor, evangelist, apostle, prophet, and teacher in your team. If you have one or two of them that you clearly can understand that these are these kinds of people, you're lucky, I would say. So what you need to do is to find other people in other churches that you can draw from in this area. And if you are a church planter and you're not gifted in evangelism, you need to find someone who is gifted in evangelism that can train your people in evangelism. And the same thing, if you're not a gifted teacher, you can bring in a teacher that can teach these things about reconciliation and divine foreknowledge and all these things that are too complicated for me to explain. So you need to understand that you need to draw from other gifts that you may not have in your church. And for us in Sweden, and in my church, evangelism has been the greatest lack in our church. So we have had evangelists come in both to preach the gospel, but also to help train us to spread the gospel in our daily lives and so on. On a practical level, also be realistic and don't do what you're not gifted to do. I mean, if you're not gifted in if you have no one in your team that can sing or play, well, don't start a worship band just because you think you need one. And it's a dramatic example, but it could be, you know, don't start, you know, deep Bible studies if you have no one that really knows the stuff, you know. so do what you're gifted to do and draw from your strengths and you know, borrow the other things. But also my favorite quote from Chesterton is, if a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. And that is very valid in church planting. It is worth worshiping God. So if we have no singers or no players, it's still worth doing. It's still worth sharing the gospel, even if we're not gifted in that area. So some things you need to, you know, you need to force yourself to do, even if you're not good at it, because it's so worth doing it. So that's, you know, important to remember when you talk about gifts and gifting in church planting. How do we live the new life together? Very important question. And Paul clearly states, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. So that is, you know, the one of the key questions. I'll speed this up and we'll end in about 5 minutes. There are, you know, in understanding the calling, there are two words that have been important to me, and it's ethos and culture. I've touched it a little bit, but ethos is the driving values in a culture or in a church. The deeper understanding of why we do things, it's the ethos. And culture is the self-expression coming from this ethos. So the deeper understanding of worship, for instance, is, you know, why we worship, who God is, and all these things. But our self-expression, you know, culturally can be, you know, from organs in one church to rock bands in another church, or simply no music at all, depending on, you know, what kind of self-expression you end up in from your value system. So it is. There, Paul, you know, mentions some areas here in this text that I think are really important to cover, and I just give you the things here that I really think is important to work out in a church plant. And one is, you know, the style of communication. Paul says, "Let us tell our neighbors the truth. Let everything you say be good and helpful." In the chapter 5, he talks about do not use any foul language and things like that. So style of communication. How do we communicate? What do we communicate? In the church, when we meet together, do we sit around tables? Do we sit in like this? What do we value? Do we value to see each other, or do we value to hear the pastor? What are our, you know, value system in these things? Because communication is so important, because it's what people get when they get into a church. Handling conflict. Do not sin by letting anger control you, Paul says. How do you plan to handle conflict in your church? It will arise. And I'm not the prophet to say it. It will arise. So how do you plan to handle it? And it you know, comes back to communication and how you know, handle these things. Service and generosity. What does it look like in our church? What values do we have about service and giving? Very, very good things. Very important things. Is our value to give to the church plant and the church distributes money, or do we value being involved in many different things and people can give to other things? It's important to talk about these things because it has to do with the future and what God has called you to do, for instance. style of worship, I talked about that a little bit already. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. And I think it's important to, in a church plant, to connect worship not only as a style of music in a service, but to connect it to your life. Because in a church plant, you probably won't have the best worship service for the first 10 years or so, if you're not very gifted in this area. So, to define your style of worship and what is worship for us is very important. And relationships. What drives our relationships? What values do we see in relationships? Dietrich stresses these, you know, trials, you know, really private relationships where you can ask questions to, you know, all kinds of questions to people. Is that a value for you, or yeah, and how do you plan to do these things? I think it's one very important aspect of working out your calling together. So these five areas, you know, talking about values, ethos, and practices are very important. An important thing to say is that it's very easy to write down values in a piece of paper or in a computer. You know, we all easily, you know, around this table could, you know, write down 10 important values for church planting. But the thing is to find values in your church plant that you together can agree on and live out and keep each other responsible for. And in the, you know, Jewish thinking and action go together. So it's not just changing your thinking, but it's also changing your actions. We have a Jewish, he's a Swede, but he's Jewish, and he's a author of several books. And in Sweden we have a saying that it's the thought that matters, you know, I didn't do really well, but I had good intentions, you know. But he says from a Jewish perspective that is not valid. The valid thing is what you actually did. So it's not just good intentions, good values, but it's what you actually do that is important. So that's why, you know, the driving values are very important, but they need to be translated into common practices. And if you want to change, you know, add values or change your values, you also need to change your practices and look deep into these things. And it's a lot easier said than done, I can assure you. But it's very, very important. A confirming of your calling. Peter says, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And this is just an ending, and then we can, you know, stop the camera and open up for discussion. But I believe that the Lord confirms things in our hearts. You know, looking at our gifts and our desires and so on, we also find peace in mind and peace in our heart, you know, when we are where God wants us to be. But I also really believe that outer confirmation is important. That other people confirm my calling. Other people see these things in me and pray together with me and can confirm. So I've had a mentor for years who, you know, for every step I've taken, I've talked to him, we have prayed together, and he had, you know, have been able to confirm the next step. And sometimes he, you know, has encouraged me to wait or to stop or things like that. And I've tried to listen to that on a personal level. As a church also, it's, you know, when you have visitors or a coach or some, you know, visiting speaker, it's so interesting to hear that many, many times God gives them, you know, words and scriptures that, you know, we've been dealing with. And they say, well, I have this word that I want to share, and so on. And it is the thing that we have been talking about. And then the next one comes and says the same, so God confirms that we are on the right track, going in the right direction. And it's very, important to get these things. And then make it sure. And I think that is, my understanding of that is, of course, writing it down and remembering it, but also acting it out, taking the step of faith. And the step of faith is taking a step into the unknown and knowing that God, trusting God to be there. And He will when He called you. Amen. Father, we just thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your call upon our lives. And I pray that this day and these days together here in Visva would really touch our hearts. I pray that You would say your words into our lives again. Call us further, Lord. Give us a more clear understanding of Your call, of Your direction, and where You're leading us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.